Have you ever wondered what life is like for a phone sex operator? Well, you've come to the right place for something a little sexy. Join me, Celine Starr, as I traverse the wide world of sex and sex work in a positive, sexy way. Sponsored in part by the Fable Beard Company, this is Whimsical Sexperts. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good night, good evening, whatever it may be for you. This is Celine, and I'm bringing you a new episode this week. It's centering on self-care in the sex work industry and how we as sex workers can get help and help each other be successful, and also kind of a little bit about what we deal with on a day-to-day basis and how that impacts us as sex workers, because it can be a little taxing. So I know maybe this doesn't hit everybody on my demographic list, but there are a few little sexy tidbits in here, and I promise it's very interesting. My guest today is Sarah Griffey. She is a life coach, and she is the executive director of DoBetterWellness.com, and she is absolutely fantastic. If you need a life coach or counselor to help you out in your day-to-day life, I am listing all of her contact information at the end of this podcast. So definitely stay tuned. Thanks so much. And here's Sarah. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
So I'm Sarah Griffey. I'm the executive director of Do Better Wellness, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the lives of underserved populations, which includes sex workers.
Nice, nice. Yes, and perfect. I'm so glad that you're here with us. So sex worker, sex work wise, what do you do? And well, really, why did I ask you here?
So for me, I actually have a degree in clinical counseling. And I decided to forego my licensure and do a form of therapeutic life coaching instead, because I found that a lot of my clients kind of needed more social work services, more so than like the therapeutic side. Not to say that the therapy wasn't, you know, also needed, but I found that because they're more like marginalized and discriminated against populations, that I could serve them better by providing social work resources.
Yeah, so you become a resource to the community by foregoing that licensure so you can open yourself up for more opportunities to help them. Is that right?
Right, exactly. It allows me a little more space to provide other services that I wouldn't be able to necessarily provide as a licensed therapist.
Yes. And all of your services are amazing. I know you've helped me personally and my family personally. And I'm so glad that you're able to do that with so many others. How long have you been doing this kind of therapy life coaching thing professionally?
Goodness. I've been doing it for 5 years now.
So you've got quite a bit of experience. You've seen a lot of different faces and a lot of different issues that have occurred in a bunch of different communities, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So this profession that you have, has it helped you discover yourself, and has it helped others discover themselves? And if so, how?
So I think it definitely helped me discover myself through this process. So I'll give you a little like backstory on kind of how I ended up where I am now. So doing my internships when I was in my master's program, I started working for a local LGBTQ organization and providing services to the LGBTQ community. My very first step there was to create a group therapy session, basically, or a discussion group is really kind of what it turned into, for open relationships, ethical non-monogamy, polyamory communities. And I started doing that. And then that led me into working with sex workers and all different kinds of relationship structures and kinks and all that fun stuff.
Right. It opens you up to so many different things when you start talking to people about their lives. Have you changed other people's lives that you've been made aware of?
I certainly hope so. I know I've had some clients, especially like my trans clients, who have been very, very grateful to me for getting them in and set up with things like HRT. I have a lot of relationships that I've worked with that, you know, at least seemingly things have worked out. You know, they haven't come back to see me, so it seems to work.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully that's the case. I mean, that's been our case. It's just like, well, I don't know what to talk about this week because everything's going so well.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. And I feel like your methods are so, they just get down to what the person really needs, I feel like. And you're really good at sourcing that and figuring that out. It's been the best experience.
Yeah. And so that's one thing that I try to focus on is really the individual in front of me and addressing their needs, because it's not about me. And, you know, they're coming to me to seek help for whatever is going on in their lives. And so I make sure to tailor my approach to that individual.
Oh, yes. I love that about you. We're very similar in that way. When I do service for my clients, I have to tailor their experience so it makes them happy. And therapy is kind of like that too. You have to tailor it to the individual.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of crossover in what we do.
Oh my goodness, there so is. In fact, a lot of my clients call me Dr. Celine because
wonderful.
They, and I don't tell them that I'm not, I don't tell them not to call me that, but it is quite funny that they like to come in for therapy sometimes, and it is very therapeutic for them. So how has your method of therapy, Sarah, helped sex workers, or that you have experienced that has been able to help sex workers?
So with sex workers, this is a new area that I've kind of delved into probably over the last, really the last 6 months or so. I had some former sex worker clients previously, but nobody who was currently like struggling with how to get started and all of that until probably about 6 months ago. And I really just kind of help them in terms of their business, their mental health, giving them a place to maybe like, you're not going to believe this crazy stuff that happened today.
And that's important too. Let me tell you, I have to tell my story. It's kind of part of why I started a podcast is because there people just don't believe the things that we go through and the things that we hear and see. It's amazing. And it's interesting. It's very intriguing. We need a place to let that down. And so I'm glad that you offer that for your clients. A lot of people ask, do you think sex work is sustainable? So as a life coach, do you think sex work is sustainable, or does it take too heavy of a toll on our mental state as people to do this job?
So I think that depends on the person, to be perfectly honest. I think a lot of people have a great capacity for this work. A lot of people get into it not recognizing how much work there actually is involved in becoming established and actually making the kind of money that they may want to see.
It takes time, and it is a job, you know, it's sure. real work.
I think some people find that taxing mentally, the business side of things, that, you know, if they're jumping into it thinking, oh, I'm just going to talk dirty and make money, that's not necessarily the case. And it may be more stressful for them if they're not willing to put in the business side, the that's work right. on the business side.
You have to put in work to make money. Like it takes money to make money. And when your time is money, that's money you're spending to make yourself better. So it absolutely, you have to have a head for business a little bit. It is important to know. Otherwise, you end up not making the kind of money you want because you're not putting enough into your business side. So yeah.
Yeah, or you get stuck with a huge tax bill, you know, because you didn't plan ahead or, you know, something.
And that is part of my makeup too, you know, just getting my taxes sorted out and making sure that I have enough money at the end of the year to pay in if I need to. Well, when and how did you decide? Can we go in a little bit further of how you decided to support sex workers in your career?
Me, I don't know that there was ever like actively a decisive moment for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I support different marginalized populations. It just kind of fit the bill into what I was already doing. I had some clients who were former sex workers, and I started getting clients who were current sex workers. So it's been an interesting transition, but it doesn't feel uncomfortable or unfamiliar to me at all.
That's good. It just kind of blends into the rest of your demographic, your marginalized communities, because we are kind of a small nestled community of people, and we do something that is a little bit taboo that others don't like to talk about.
Right.
So we need help too.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people, you know, keep that side of them hidden. They don't feel like they can talk to people about what they do for a living without judgment or, you know, shame or whatever someone else might throw at them.
Yeah. And just from my own experience, I'm very open about what I do and sometimes how I do it, depending on the audience, like if there are adults or if there are children in the room. But, you know, a lot of people can't do that. They can't just come out and say, oh, I'm a phone sex operator, or oh, I'm an OnlyFans creator, or I work on a bunny ranch in Vegas. You know, we feel so judged because we're providing a service, mostly for men. And women do this too, but we're providing a service for men, and we usually have no place to tell people about how we feel about it. So it's a good thing that you're there to be an open ear. You may get hit with this occasionally, but what are some of the most common misconceptions that you can help me dispel about sex work to kind of make us as sex workers feel better that we're doing something good for society and that we're not doing a negative thing?
The most interesting things that I have kind of learned about sex work in general is how incredibly therapeutic and helpful it can be. And I think that a lot of people don't go into it necessarily thinking about that on either side of it, whether, you know, you're a provider or you're a client. And I don't think people necessarily put that in the forefront of their mind of I'm going to get helped today. Really, I think there really is a good mental health benefit on both sides as well.
Yeah. And well, with moderation, of course, I always like to say, hey, you know, if you have real life people at home, probably pay attention to them, but I'm here to help you if they can't. And a lot of my clients have fetishes and kinks that their partners or people that they're dating just don't accept, or they don't understand, and they can't get that fulfilled anywhere else. They have to come to me for that. It is very therapeutic for them at times.
Absolutely. I think if we hold those things in, they come out in really destructive ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it can cause aggression and anger, and we just get so pent up and irritated that we're not good people to be around. And I feel like sex work has a place there where it can ease some tension. Stress relief is a big deal. And sure. we help people. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think for people getting into this field, you know, think of it as kind of like a make-believe for adults. You know, in that it also has this fun childlike element to it that you can add to the experience for yourself that can make it, you know, much more fun for you and not just the client.
Exactly. You know, as a phone sex operator, I have a lot of fun telling stories, and I have so many of them. You know, I have a lot of life experience that it's not quite like everyone else because I was very free about my sex life in early 30s, and now, you know, I live in an established triad, so I tell all sorts of stories that they want to hear about threesomes and what happened this morning and what happened last night. So I get to be a storyteller, and I get to be a sexy storyteller. There really isn't anything better. I can't believe it took me so long to take this step as a career in my life.
Sometimes it just takes one thing happening and it all falls into place.
Right. Sometimes it takes your whole life falling apart, which Sarah was there for me when my life was crashing down around me, to make a choice and to make a change. And sometimes that's good for our mental health. That's self-care, deciding to do a job that you know is going to be good for you.
Yeah. And I know, you know, change is really hard, especially when it's so unknown and you don't know what to expect. And when you're talking about, you know, this is potentially my financial future, it can be tough to make that decision. And so, you know, I applaud the bravery of anybody who has been willing to step away from the vanilla world and, you know, jump into sex work.
jump into the shadows with me. So fun. So not to break any confidentiality that you may have, but have you noted the value of therapy, of your type of therapy, in your clients who do this work full time? So sex workers that you have as clients, do they gain a lot of value being able to sit down and just disseminate everything that they've gone through?
Yeah, I think they really respond well to just having kind of a safe place where they know they can talk about anything. I've heard all the things. And so, you know, there's no judgment. There's no anything for me, you know, no bias, no discrimination. I'm just a safe person that they can really open up to. And, you know, I want to be able to provide that space for them, because sometimes it comes down to, you know what, I'm really struggling with my mental health because of maybe my physical health. So now let's talk about that in order to, you know, keep you at your best so that you can keep doing the work that you love doing.
Yeah. I mean, I have found that myself. I know we both have a lot of physical issues, you and I both. And sometimes that makes it hard to get up and be able to put forth the content or the voice that I need in order to do the job that I love to do. So I think that is important. Deal with your physical health in order to continue to be able to provide a good service.
You know, learning to be patient with yourself and recognize that if you do have physical limitations, if this was a career path that you chose because of those physical limitations, you couldn't, you know, and you didn't have the stamina for an 8 to 5, you know, I think it's really important to be patient with yourself and understand your limitations. And that if you can't get to that content that you had intended to create today because of pain or fatigue or whatever, it's okay to sit on it and wait. You know, I know it's hard when, especially, like I said, it's tied to your financial success, to be a little more patient with ourselves, but that's all part of the self-care of really any job.
Yeah. Any job whatsoever, you kind of have to have that understanding that you can't do everything. Right. You have to have some moderation. And that's, we're creators as sex workers. We have to have the imagination and the ability to create. And if our bodies hurt, that's hard. So there's always tomorrow. Always.
Exactly. Tomorrow. And, you know, if you already have content that's available, that can provide, you know, kind of a passive income stream for you in the meantime, like while you're able to kind of rest and take care of you in order to put up more content.
Oh, yeah. And I know a lot of creators, for them, it's they have this idea and they want to push forward on it so badly and they want to do it so quickly. They're like, oh, man, I want to get this done. But then we reach the limitations that our body has given us and we have to be able to say, okay, I hear you. Let me squanch this idea for at least another 24 hours and take a break.
Right.
With sex work as a career for some of your clients, do you find that it has a positive or negative effect on their mental health?
I think this also kind of goes back to the individual. I think a lot of people do really well mentally with this kind of work. Some people are not so prepared. I have worked with clients who've gotten into this and they were like, I didn't realize like how gross people were, for example.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And that can take a real mental toll on them if they're unprepared for it. So I think, you know, if for somebody considering this line of work, you know, looking into all of the tips and tricks and, you know, resources that are available, because there are a ton of resources available for sex workers in terms of how do you do this? How do you do this well? And how do you make money?
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep at it when you find out how disgusting this can be?
Exactly. And so I think, you know, providing, again, a place for people to come and talk to and say, like, this is how gross people are.
Yes.
And it helps maintain that mental balance.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people, when they patronize a creator or call a phone sex operator, they are at their basis. They are completely raw and they want it as you know, whatever their fantasies happen to be. And those can surprise people sometimes.
Sure.
I was, the first time I took a call where the person on the other line didn't want to talk about my body, they wanted to talk about becoming a woman. That was a huge surprise for me. I was like, I guess I can talk about this. But as a cisgendered woman, I just never, it never occurred to me that a man would call me to talk about wanting to be a woman and what that would feel like. It is kind of amazing, actually.
Right. And I know so many people use this line of work for like social justice and really like retraining people in their thoughts and their beliefs, and using it for a political platform.
Sorry to interrupt. This episode is sponsored in part by the Fable Beard Company. I know. It doesn't sound sexy outright, does it? Just wait. So my polycule and I have been using these products for months, and they have made me absolutely ravenous for my partners. I use their oils in my own hair as well. And in fact, I'm currently using Everyday Hero on my very processed hair because I love to keep it vibrant. And it's a luscious blend of cotton candy, warm vanilla sugar, and a fresh funnel cake. Doesn't that sound dreamy? It's because it is. Their oils also include castor oil, which is great for strength and growth. The ingredients work together to quench my hair's mighty thirst, and I smell like absolute magic. You feel like smelling like absolute magic? Well, visit fablebeardco.com. That's FableBeardCo.com, or find them on Twitter at FableBeardCo and use the code SexAndWhimsy15, that's SexAndWhimsy15, to receive 15% off your order. And take it from me, they are magical, sexy, and delicious. And now, back to your episode. Oh, I have a friend who's like that. her name is Libby. They go by they, actually. So my friend Libby is a political kink specialist, and she uses it as a political platform to try to convert conservatives, and they sure call her, and they sure patronize. It is a real deal. Nice. One of these days I'm going to have guests for me. Yeah, it's...
I think also, you know, I'm based in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which of course,
red.
You know, just had the race massacre centennial. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know race play is also a really big one, and using that in an educational way and, you know, working with those clients to maybe dispel some of the learning that they've acquired when, you know, in their younger years or through family or through, you know, religious indoctrination.
Mm-hmm. I have African-American clients who call me and they want me to degrade them. I have to turn them down because it's not really my thing to degrade them based on their race. And it can be, that's one of my hard limits, is I don't do a lot of race, but I can see where sometimes it can be a retraining. And it can definitely influence people. It's a big thing too. You would be surprised at the amount of people who are into race. I was surprised.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing. I think a lot of people, before they get into this line of work, don't really recognize what kind of kinks are out there. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you're going to get surprised. And, you know, how good is your poker face that it's not shocking to you?
You have to have one. They'll just come up with something off the top of their head and you'll be like, well, sure, I can choke you in the bathroom with satin panties on. Maybe that's a thing. They have so many different ways to express their kink, and they want you to narrate it for them. For me personally, I know with content creators, they get a lot of requests because my girlfriend Liv is also a content creator, and she gets requests to do all sorts of things. Like one request was they wanted to have a 10-minute video clip of her pouring lotion all over her body from her head all the way down to her toes in fishnets. And great. sure. But we looked at each other and the person was asking her to pull out all of the different bottles of lotion and send him like pictures of these bottles so he could find the biggest one we had in our house. It was hilarious. But it was also surprising. You know, you don't know what people want. And then when they tell you, you have to be able to respond with, yes, I can do that. Or no, that's against my limit. And limits are important, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that is a really good key to good mental health with this profession is, you know, making sure that you know where you draw your lines. Knowing your own limitations. Is this comfortable? Is this uncomfortable for you?
Right. And everybody's a little different, right?
Right. Absolutely. Some people, you know, like I said, the race play stuff, they turn it into an educational experience and they have no problem with that. And I think it's wonderful. But other people are like, that's just not, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right. It's just cringy for me. But there are some people out there, they go all out and they're able to just degrade and call them names, but then teach them a lesson at the same time. Me, on the other hand, I'm just like, oh, that makes my skin crawl. Just can't. So that's my boundary, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's not necessarily yucking someone's yum.
No.
It's a matter of knowing, you know, where your ick level is. Not that you're icking their thing, but it just doesn't feel comfortable for you.
Yeah, you're having your own limits as to how much ick you can take, but not, you know, I never get to the point where I kink shame them, which is important. You don't want to kink shame your client, even if it's something you don't do. You just say, hey, that's kind of not my thing. And maybe find some other resources like references, other creators that can offer that to that client. Find people who can offer alternative content that you're comfortable referring to.
And that's a network. This is something I think, you know, specializing is a really great thing to do. Mm-hmm. Finding that niche that works best for you. And, you know, getting to know other providers, getting to know them to a point where you can make those like referrals if you need to.
Mm-hmm. And it has helped me tremendously. I have transsexual phone sex operators. I have a political kink phone sex operator. I have femdom phone sex operators that I know that I can be like, well, I don't really specialize in that. But let me get you to someone who can really make you hot. Like that, I just have different resources because I've gone out and networked with other people. So networking with creators is a good way to help you take care of yourself because then
absolutely.
You don't feel uncomfortable saying no.
Absolutely, because then you have a resource ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And you can just be like, here, bang, have this link, talk to them. They'll be able to take care of you. And that can be hard, turning down money. Because that's what we're doing, right? We're saying, I don't want your money. I'm going to give it to somebody else. But it's important.
Know those boundaries so that you're not accepting money for something that makes you uncomfortable.
Right. Or it may come back to bite you in the ass later because they may come back and ask you to do more. And right. Then what do you do?
Right.
So have you ever, in your line of work, recommended that somebody contact a sex worker?
Not professionally speaking, but I do get in Facebook groups a lot. And I do see a lot of like toxic behavior in like ethical non-monogamy, supposed to be ethical non-monogamy groups. Mm. And I do often recommend that, you know, if somebody is looking for a temporary good time, you know, that's a situation where they probably need to look into hiring a sex worker.
Right. Or just... Yeah, I make those comments myself a lot. Like, you know, you can, and not even a sex worker, but you can join swinger communities. That's completely different from ethical non-monogamy. You know, that's an open community that you can go out and be like, hey, I want to have a quick fuck tonight. And I'm looking for somebody. And somebody might hit you up as opposed to all of these ethical non-monogamy groups where everybody is like, I'm just looking for fun tonight. Anybody up for it? Re-education.
Right. Or, you know, me and my wife are looking for a third.
Oh my God. Or female. I think somebody in one of our groups was like, You just sound like a Ferengi at this point, and nobody really wants to be that.
Exactly. Please do not refer to women as females.
Please don't.
It seems really ick to a lot of people, and it's very, good. It's kind of the first sign that somebody is probably going to be toxic.
Yeah, or at least it's somebody that just doesn't know what they're doing as far as ethical non-monogamy goes. And so, you know, if you get involved with those people, what your experience is going to be like. You're going to have a complete beginner. So if you're used to ethical non-monogamy, and you are used to having partners who are in this vibe, you get involved with somebody like that, you're going to have to teach them something eventually.
What if you're one of those people who are like, I don't want to educate a new partner, then that's not going to be the person for you.
Yeah, no, probably don't try that out. And I think hopefully a lot of practice ethical non-monogamy know that already, though I'm always ready to educate a new person. It's just, I think I've taken on enough monogamous people in my life to try to educate them, and then that doesn't always go so well. But yeah, that's a good time to recommend. Hey, you know, you might look into a sex worker, creator, phone sex operator, even a skin to skin sex worker, if that's legal in your area. And it's valid and it's good, and it keeps them from harming someone else potentially. You can get
right
down with that. Yeah. So
that's one of my biggest frustrations. That third person always ends up getting dragged through something that, you know, they weren't prepared for, and they didn't know was coming. Just because someone is uneducated, uninformed, and unwilling to educate themselves.
Right. And a lot of people treat women as a sex object instead of treating them like a person that has maybe a different fantasy than they do.
Right. And it
needs.
You know, this is why, like, the whole concept of, like, the third, it seems so dehumanizing. And so for me, just immediately using that kind of language, it screams unethical to me.
It hurts me. I read those posts and I'm just like, no, can we just educate people on how to use the right language so that you seem appealing to people who may want to date you? And often people take it negatively because they feel like they're putting themselves out there and they're doing a great thing when they may not have the experience. But hopefully someday they'll get there. But that's where I come in, you know. I can be like, hey, let me tell you stories about my experiences.
Right.
Do you have any solid advice for those of us that provide the service? And really, I focus on this question because I want to know what we can do for self-care. I think we've covered that a lot. But just to kind of disseminate everything, break it all down, what is your advice for self-care for those of us who do sex work?
So for self-care, again, that's going to look different for everybody. You know, for the longest time in trainings and things like that, when we went over self-care, it was, you know, take a bath, and that's like self-care. Mm-hmm. And I hated that because I'm not a bath person. And I was like, okay, but what is self-care for me? Like, that doesn't work for me. Like, that just stresses me out. So what do I do for self-care? And so it's been kind of a mission of mine to really delve into, you know, what self-care can be for people. And it really is varied. I mean, if it is disconnecting from like work for a little while and sitting down and playing a video game or watching a movie, you know, and getting just a little bit of that disconnect, if that's what's needed, that's perfectly fine. The problem is with self-care is when it gets too indulgent. So again, everything in moderation. So if you're not using it as an excuse, but it's something that gives you a benefit, absolutely, by all means, do that thing.
Yes. And don't feel bad about it. Just do the thing.
Exactly. Take care of you. If you're feeling really stressed out, like you don't have the mental capacity to hit the phone lines or to do whatever, you know, then don't do it that day. It's okay to take that time for yourself.
Yeah.
But just don't make it a habit.
Oh, yeah. and that comes with balance.
Right.
Life balance, I think, is very important because as sex workers, and you also, we're self-employed. You know, we have to regulate ourselves. And so, yeah, it's easy to fall into those habits where I don't really want to do today, but do I really feel like I can do it? And did I do it yesterday? I didn't. What did I do yesterday? I sat in bed and played a video game, you know, those types of things. Don't let it become a habit. Make sure you're getting it done. But at the same time, don't burn yourself out. Burnout is a big problem.
Right.
A lot of girls get into this. They get into this industry, this profession early, and they start to work. And they find that they put their all into it. They're not getting everything they want out of it, and they're just working themselves to death. So, moderation.
Also, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
You know, if you can provide content that can that you know will get you a passive stream of income,
that's awesome.
You know, if you can get that set up before you ever even, you know, log on for the first time, but you know you have some content all ready to go, you know, that's a really great way of at least helping out on the financial side of things. Because I do understand, especially after pandemic and all of that, people are really, you know, struggling to make ends meet. And so if you're solely focusing on, I've got to make the money, you're going to make some bad choices and you're going to do things that are going to rub up against your boundaries. And that's not healthy. So if you can do things to create that passive income stream, that's going to help you ease you into being able to set your boundaries a little bit better.
Yes, creating a content library before you even begin. And that can be difficult because you're not sure what kind of clients you may attract if you're new. It's super important having that backup. For instance, this morning, I wasn't able to take calls. I was super tired. Okay, I got to log off. I got to get a couple hours of sleep and then I can get back at it. I had a client that messaged me right after I turned my line off. And he's like, I want a silent call. I like this, and I've talked to this client before. And I said, well, I'm having a rough morning. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. But later on, I have this audio that I've recorded. I'm going to send it over to you. If you like it and you want to hear it, since you just need a silent call and you can't speak, go ahead and buy it. It's at my permanent rate and it's reasonable. And he was really positive about that and sent me my back and said, absolutely, send it over. So make sure you're those smart choices. If you need some time to yourself, let your client know. A lot of times they're going to be okay with it, or give them an alternative. Say, I have this content. Why don't you make this and I'll be back a little. So I think that's a really good piece of advice.
And honestly, I mean, I know that, you know, because of my profession, I know that there is kind of a desire for me to provide like my big piece of advice that is, you know, mental health related. To be perfectly honest, the biggest piece of advice I can give to anybody is like, take care of your business, you know, and treat it as a business. And you're, you know, if you are preparing, if you are managing your time well, if you are, you know, sticking to some kind of a schedule, I understand, like if you need that self-care, take that self-care. But if you can, you know, move things around on your calendar instead of just like saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's going to be a lot more beneficial to you in the long run because you're setting yourself up for that success.
So true. And it's easy to just be really loose with it, but it is a business and it is something we're trying to make money with, and having those good boundaries and treating it as a business is going to help everybody in the long run. Even your clients, you know, even if you have an obsessive client, which does happen frequently, and they want your time all the time. You know, realistically, that cannot happen.
Right.
So being able to tell them, hey, I know that I'm so glad that you wanted to talk to me, really super sexy, but I have to go curl my hair or whatever. Yeah, that's not very sexy, but whatever you have to do, get it done. Come back to work just like you would do any other job. Treat it like business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Well, anything else that you'd like to share?
I know we had talked before we actually jumped into this that I was going to out myself as a former sex worker.
And so
I do want to do that because I think it's important for me to be open about that in terms of working with my clients, because if they have an understanding that, you know, I have experience in this line of work, then, you know, hopefully they'll be able to relate a little bit easier and be able to feel more comfortable opening up.
Yeah. So they know that you have more experience and that you kind of know what they're going through as a former sex worker. And like you said, I think a lot of those paths cross. So between sex work and therapy, there is a place where they come together. And having that experience really helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm so proud and I'm so glad. And I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you for inviting me here.
Well, yay. Yeah. And you should come back sometime. We should talk about some other things. I know there are a lot of different little tidbits that are related to therapy that we should delve into. Definitely. Like sissies. We need to talk about sissies someday, Sarah. I'm sure we can have a good conversation. Because they're fun and they're beautiful and I love them so much. So thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate your time. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about what Sarah does, you can go to www.dobetterwellness.com. That's www.dobetterwellness.com. Or if you don't want to reach out to her through her website, you can email her at sarah@dobetterwellness.com. And stick around for a little bit more information about how to find me, where to find me, and when to find me. Have a sexy and salacious day. Thanks for listening in. To get regular updates, exclusive content, and to engage with me directly, find me on Twitter @sexandwhimsy. That's the @ symbol and then SexandWhimsy. Share this with your divergent friends, as each episode is completely free and easy to find on any platform that you use to listen to podcasts. As a quick reminder, this podcast is sponsored by The Fable Beard Company. Remember, you can save 15% on your order by using my code SexandWhimsy15 at FableBeardCo.com. If you find yourself wanting more, come join me every Sunday for a new episode. Let me know you've listened in by tapping in on Twitter or WhimsicalSexperts.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a sexy and salacious day.